Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. Some big things over the weekend. We've got some more results from the AFLW Draft Combine, which we're going to go through at the start. But this week, we're going to review the Vic Country Boys teams and their season that was, go through some play profiles and look ahead to next year, see what's coming up next year and review the boys that possibly could get drafted this year. But Jonty, how was your weekend? What to talk about today?
Yeah, a lot to talk about, so we'll go through all of that. We're also going to go through Tassie's boys and girls prospects, so lots in the pipeline from both a boys and girls perspective down in the Apple aisle, so looking forward to reviewing that as well. But yeah, Michaela Williamson, probably the big headline coming out of the AFLW Combine, which is where we'll start breaking the 2 kilometre record. And I know as a whole, Dandenong was wrapped as a region with how their girls tested. I know Bianca Lyon broke some PBs, as did their skipper Gemma Ramsdale. But if you want to take us through off the top some of those really impressive results that we saw.
100%. She was just that stood out right away, how good she ran that. And to break the record, that's nuts. And yeah, we saw Tarkin O'Leary got pretty close last week, but Michaela Williamson, she was just fantastic with a 7.09 run in the 2K. And something that impressed me, and I'm sure it impressed you, a lot of talent league girls, you know, got in the top 10 for most of these testing. So it was fantastic to see, and that tells you how strong the league is really becoming. And we'll start with the 2K time trial. Michaela Williamson topped it with 7.09. Bianca Lyon, her Dandenong Stingrays teammate, with 7.21. Jasmine Thompson, Tassie girl, she was in third. Then we had Lila Keck. Good to see Bendigo girl in the top 10 there. And then Tyler Crabtree and Lily Jordan. Great to see those two that we've been raving about now for a while, and they're come up in this season. It's been terrific. Brady O'Rourke as well, adding to that Bendigo list. And Amy Gaylor, the 20-metre sprint, dominated by two Eastern girls, Laura Stone and Georgia Stubbs, in that top two. Amber Shute, Gippsland girl. Good to see the country girls testing really well, because, you know, we do see at times during the season there can be a bit of a difference between metro and country, but these country girls are still at the same level as the metro talent. So it's great to see her in the poll. Isabel Bacon, one I've been big on. Gemma Rigoni, one you've loved watching. Jonty, who will surely get drafted in this upcoming draft. Amy Gaylor again. Christy Lee Weston-Turner and Lucy Cronin round out in that 20-metre sprint. Agility, Michaela Williamson again in there. Laura Stone, Killy Fullerton, one you've loved watching. It's good to see them in that top 10 for the agility. Standing vertical jump, Amy Gaylor, which we sort of had a pretty good idea on how good her jump is and her vertical ability. Tamara Henry as well, Western girl. Amber Shute again in that top 10. So a few names that came up again and again, which was great to see. And then the running vertical jump, some newer names that were in that group. Meg Robertson came in at 10th for that, and Michaela Williamson, Christy Lee Weston-Turner again, and Amy Gaylor. So some great testing. Good to see these girls testing well, and they're just adding to their case. Any surprises from your end or
no, I mean, we saw in preseason as well, at the preseason testing, that Amy Gaylor tests really well. Yeah. So it's good to see her name come up a few times. Obviously, we know she didn't, you know, necessarily get the consistency she would have liked just from an injury point of view. Just another thing to highlight, we do like to highlight on this podcast, some things that players do in the local community. You brought up Keely Fullerton, just reminded me that she coached the V-Line Cup. And I know the Call to Cannons is something they're really big on, is some of the girls that come back and do help out with the under-16s and the future programs. Ava Gerard is a girl that's done that, and they've had plenty that are always really willing. So it is always good to see when players are willing to come back and help out and shows the strength of character. But we will transition across into boys and start our boys season review Vic Country podcast with the Dandenong Stingrays, who I thought probably deserved another win for the season. I thought they deserved to go at least get to the quarterfinals of the talent league, got knocked out in a game against Gippsland, a beautiful day. But yeah, they were unable to put it on the scoreboard in the first quarter, ultimately came up second best. But their top end talent is obviously Harry DeMattea, who had the choice between footy and cricket that's been well documented now. At the start of the season, chose footy, and his strength through the midfield, we know his well-developed body, and that certainly assists him in contested situations. Yeah. But his acceleration as well is something that really stood out. He's one that tested really well ran his 20-meter sprint in under 3 seconds, and his leadership and professionalism is something that is second to none in the talent league. And it's no surprise to see that he's one that's risen and risen gradually as the season's gone on, because he continues to impress the left footer out of the Stingrays.
Yeah, 100%. One I want to touch on, and one that you've loved watching all year, had a bit of an injury-interrupted sort of season is in Cooper Simpson, and we saw he didn't really get a lot of champs time, but he's probably one that, look, he gets picked up and he'd probably go lower than what expected to, given a full non-interrupted season. And I guess, have you been impressed with this season? I guess what he shows, where should he be landing in the end? Because we know the traits he possesses. He's got the capabilities to do quite a lot, given he gets that chance.
Yeah, I said it wasn't out of the realms of possibility that he pushes into the top 12 or thereabouts at the start of the season. Now injuries prevented him from doing that. But I do think he's going to end up in the middle of the second round somewhere there, and whichever club gets him is going to get an absolute steal. Not only did he have those corky interruptions during the championships, which just grounded him completely at the wrong time of the season. I think what gets overlooked a little bit in the external media narrative is that he had glandular fever in preseason as well. So he's coming into the season with that limited preparation. People have had glandular fever know how difficult an illness it can be to overcome and have the energy. And he's one that does run both ways. And it is his work ethic on the footy field that really stands out. He's obviously got the leadership piece as well as co-captain. And he's really been a silky, silky mover to watch. But it's also been good to see him play on the wing as well for Dandenong in the back end of the season. He played inside mid a little bit, but also as an outside mid. So I think he's a really balanced player, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he ends up at the next level. No doubt he gets picked up. And then from there, the other one that probably has done enough is Billy Wilson, whose acceleration is exceptional. He's a line-breaking, game-changing halfback who's risen as the season went on, one that they put on the radar at the start of the season that could get Vic Country trial, and he did that and a little bit more. So he probably didn't quite have that outstanding game for Vic Country that he would have liked, but what he did for Dandenong, and also when he went into the midfield, added a different dynamic there, a bit of excitement showed why he's someone who's in that fray. And then after that, you've got Kobe Sheep and Kay Delarue, both from the same junior club, Beaconsfield, who are probably right on the precipice there. Kobe Sheep's strong end to this season as an intercepting one-on-one defender. It was really strong, and Kate Delarue's running as a high half forward who could spend spurts of time in the midfield, also really impressive.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, in terms of others, we talk about Ben Hopkins, Jacob Grant. I mean, did they do enough to put their name out there and give themselves a shot?
Yeah, well, Ben Hopkins is one that's receiving a little bit of interest. Both of them get the state combine invite. Jacob Grant's one who's got a reasonable leap and hits up. So he's there's certainly enough there, and they've done what they can. So kudos to both of them, whose rises have been excellent. But yeah, they might go through the VFL and they might get a chance that way, or they might be a little diamond in the rough for a club. Riak Andrew is one who was a little bit of an unknown coming into the season, probably worth touching on as well. And he's still very raw fundamentally, but I think what he showed in the last game against Gippsland, he turned it on. It was just a 10-minute period, took 4 intercept marks. And I think a lot of people were like, that's why there's been so much excitement about him all year. And he probably hadn't quite delivered to that point. And we know, and we've seen it with Pat Reshko, that it can take a while after you've been out with a long-term injury to really hit your straps. So whether he's one that does go through the VFL system, is a Melbourne NGA product, if he does, in fact, reach AFL level, the Ds will have priority access to him. He's one that could go around the long way. He's probably a little bit raw at the moment. And then plenty of names that can go VFL as well. Ziggy Toledo-Glasman already got an opportunity for Casey coming back to Dandenong this year as a 19-year-old. Matt Nelson's one I've really liked. I think he does the defensive stuff really well and has been a real versatile mainstay for the Stingrays, stood up when some of their better players were missing. Sam Frangalis is one who could go through the VFL if he wanted. A Berwick Jr., who's a real inside grunt type of player. And then others like Hudson Rigg, Tom Payne and Jack Wilson will all get VFL pre-seasons at minimum, you would think, if that opportunity is one they want to take.
We'll touch on a couple of the bottom ages. We got Harvey Langford, Cooper Hines, two that we saw had a pretty good end to the season, played well in that under 17 game, and then got their opportunity to play on the MCG on the final day of September, which is great to see. Noah Mraz, talk me through these bottom ages. What's to expect next year from the Stingrays in terms of, are they going to back up the depth they've always had?
Yeah, I think they're probably not going to have the same number of players drafted next year as what they have had in say your 2019 and your 2018. Some of their stronger years, but their top end talent is looking really good. And you do always find diamonds in the rough, like we talk about. So when you look at top end, you're probably looking at, like you say, Harvey Langford and Cooper Hines makes them a potent midfield. I think Harvey Langford's one who's good in the contest. We saw him this year. I think back to a game against Oakley where he really stood up. I think he was really good against Sandy as well. He was given the captaincy in that game and really thrived. It looked like with that responsibility. So he's one who can win the ball in the clinches. Cooper Hines can go forward and kick a goal as well. And then Harry Downton brings a lot of pressure inside 50. He's one just to keep a little bit of an eye on as well. So I really like what he brings. He's one whose intent, I think, is really positive with and without the ball. So he's good when you want to lock it in at ground level. He's really impressive. And Noah Moraz is a developing tall who also got an opportunity at Vic Country level this year and is probably one of the more highly regarded talls in terms of talent league prospects next year. And then just a couple of other names to keep your eye on. Alward Peckett, a potential St Kilda father-son. Corin Gilliam showed a couple of little flashes. He played in that Vic Diversity versus Bashir Hooley Academy and did a couple of little things. And then Charlie Rowe was very good for the last two or three games of the season. He'll obviously have his season interrupted because he's a Halebury boy, but he's a small defender and he's one just to keep an eye on. He's quite polished and plays his role really well. Smart player.
So that's standing on for the season. We'll move now to Bendigo, which we obviously know the main name there is Harley Reid, and for Bendigo season in general, probably wasn't what they wanted. They started really well, and they went into that first community break 3-1 from memory, and we saw them in that last game at QEO before that break, and look, it just didn't transfer there, you know, onwards. But a lot to like with Bendigo, a lot of players that will probably end up on VFL list, and that's probably and that's still a great goal for the club to get players onto a VFL list at the very least. But let's touch on a few. We'll touch on Hugh Byrne first, actually, because we saw his potential early. Like we saw that game against Tassie where he was just really powerful inside forward 50, and had a very good local grand final and had some moments to build upon. I guess there'd have to be some potential there just to be looked at, but you know, VFL at the very least for a player like you.
Yeah, he's good overhead as well. And like you say, he's good inside 50. So he's garnering a little bit of interest, kick 3 in the local grand final. So he's one to keep an eye out for. Ollie Poole's one I know that you've enjoyed watching, and I think he played his role really well. Covers the ground quite well. And if he doesn't get picked up, he's moving down to Melbourne for university. But he's one that, depending on where the AFL interest sort of sits in 6 weeks' time, we'll have a bit more of an idea when their lists are sort of finalised, but could return to Bendigo as a 19-year-old. He's certainly one they're happy to have back. His work ethic was quite positive throughout the season. So they're the two below Harley who could attract a little bit of attention. And Oscar Smart had some moments where you could sort of see his power and you could see his skill set. Probably didn't quite show that level as well as he would have liked throughout the season, and a couple of little things went against him, but there's certainly a lot of skill there, and if he takes the long road round and grows in the VFL system, then there's the opportunity for him to use his weapons at AFL level down the track for sure.
Oh well, 100%. He's one I enjoyed watching, had his moments, but probably just didn't have enough in the end to really just sort of move into that next tier of players.
Yep.
I guess Taj Bond is one sort of to chat about. Had some good glimpses late in the season. Any more on him?
Yeah, well, he's another one that could return as an overager. So they've had their issues, Bendigo, and they've been open about the fact that for, you know, whatever reason, they just haven't had a lot of height in terms of key position height. So they've had, you know, players who were about that 190, 194 centimetre range competing in the ruck. He's one who's 205 centimetres and they're hopeful he can come back and just give them a contest out of the ruck. So, yeah, he's one to keep an eye out for. And then I guess someone else who could return next year is Xavier Carter, who showed a little bit as an athletic hybrid forward. They've got plenty of those sort of players, but he's one who might get a little bit of interest if he does have a big preseason.
And then bottom ages, I mean, there's a lot to look forward for with Bendigo, we saw a lot of late glimpses, especially Job Shanahan. We saw how good he was in that under-17s game and had some good moments on grand final day in the Futures match and kicked a really nice goal from 50 and one that will just grow into his body as the season goes on. But he's one I think we should start with, and just where's his football going to lead him next year?
Into the midfield from all reports. Yep. So, yeah, we know that he's played as a forward and as a defender this year, and his marking ability is already well-regarded and well-known among recruiters and among everyone in the industry. He's shown that all throughout this season. Probably the next step for him is to show he can do it in the midfield, and if he can show that he can play in all thirds of the ground, then that bodes really well in terms of versatility to get to the next level. It's probably also going to be interesting to see how he moves about the ground, because he has obviously got a really strong work ethic, and you know, there's probably no coach that speaks more highly of a player's work ethic than Danny O'Brien of Joe Shanahan. But on field, it's something that is an area where he could just translate that a little bit more. Not that his work ethic on field is bad, but it's something where, for how good he is off field, it'd be great to see him cover a few more Ks on field. So he's one to keep a really close eye on, and getting the opportunity in the midfield will really allow him to showcase those weapons. And then the other two that are getting plenty of headlines that you can probably speak to, and you're one who picked Archer Day weeks early in the season. Nathan, he played excellently in a grand final for Sandhurst, and his Sandhurst teammate Toby Trevallier is also very good aerially, which lends itself to that rebounding defender role. That's where they expect to play next season.
Well, for his size as well, Trevallier, just the work he does, it's quite impressive to see him get that rebound capacity, just given he's not extremely built for that role. And yeah, Archer Daywicks, like you said, he's just one that, I think I said this after the Futures game on the review, like, he's got it all. He just has to put it on the field and apply that, and I think he will. But in terms of other names, James Barrett, Tom Evans, Dusty Geister, a few that I know you've been looking at, who are the sort of the next tier below them next year for the bottom ages?
I'm glad you bring up James Barrett, because I think their perception is probably the same, that we've talked so much about those top three players, and that's because we've seen what they're capable of doing as bottom ages, and they've really carried the load for Bendigo along with Harley when he's been there this season. But James Barrett is one that, if he had played a full season, I think would be talked about almost in the same vein as your Archer Daywicks and your Toby Trevallier's. So he's a real powerful player overhead. He's about 192 centimetres. He's got a good leap, and he plays a lot taller than that. He sticks his marks, and he kicked goals in the three games that he played. And just the word that is associated with him when you ask people out of Bendigo about his capabilities is X factor. So they do expect he'll be around that sort of Vic Country area next year. And then, yeah, Tom Evans and Lockie Hogan are a couple of others that are sort of thereabouts and will be pushing for strong pre-seasons. Dusty Geister is a good story out of Mildura. Obviously, we know so many sacrifices, so many of these country boys. He fits that to a T. He's a father-son prospect with a high footy IQ, and he's got smarts inside 50, so it'd be interested to see how his development goes. And then just another one to touch on from a Bendigo perspective, Glenn Gilby, the brother of GWS's Jason, or Jason's just been delisted, but he's one to watch out for as well. He's still raw, and ankle surgery limited him this year, but he's one who could come a long way quite quickly, and they're hopeful of what he could provide. And just to touch on a couple of other names who could go on to VFL next year, you talk about that depth that they've got that isn't necessarily top end, but still got some assets to play with, and they might eventually make the top league. Malik Gordon was one who had a bit of hype around him coming into the season, so he's still got the power and the assets to make it at VFL level. Michael Corrali, we saw, got VFL opportunities. And then Bailey Kane, Jake Nile, and Eli Pierce are a couple of others to just keep an ear out for in the state league next season.
Well, yeah, hopefully they get their chance. And I wonder if Glenn Gilby has the same milk obsession that his brother does. That'll be a fun watch next year. one to watch for sure. But on to the Rebels, who disappointingly, and this is biased because I loved watching the Rebels, but they got knocked out pretty early, and they finished second in the country conference, which is just pretty impressive because Rebels don't generally finish that well. And yeah, a lot to like for the Rebels this year. And George Stevens was the main one that just, in terms of a player, probably that just, you know, kept going up and up and up and really didn't stop. He was there, just created a point of difference from himself, and his kicking just kept improving week on week, just really good position in the end, and he's just a tough physical brute of a player, and that, and his size is probably the one thing that you would question going into the season. Is he versatile enough? He was playing as an inside midfielder, but he got moved to that half back role and he was playing it really proficiently, and he was just great. His endurance kept improving, just was terrific to watch, and one I grasped onto at least come the back end.
I think what's interesting with those sort of players, it's always interesting to see when someone's as big as what he is and has been able to use their size as easily as what he has at junior level, how does that transfer to senior level? Because that's not going to be a point of difference when you're coming up against men. Well, he showed when he played for Geelong VFL that he can still get 25 disposals plus as that sort of player. So, yeah, he's one certainly to watch for and was certainly very impressive. And I guess probably a couple of others who are in that fray just probably below him. He's probably elevated himself now. Joel Frazier, who had that outstanding day, we know, six goals, 27 touches against Dandenong at Bendigo, and Lamont Lowell, who got a go in the midfield but probably made a name for himself as that line-breaking run-and-gun halfback.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll start with Lamont. And you say that he made his name on that halfback, but I think clubs really loved what he produced in the midfield, just providing that extra asset in the contest and just moving the ball forward. So I think that was actually something clubs have loved. And yeah, we know his capability at halfback. We sort of questioned his general possession could be a bit clumsy at times, but it was still like pretty good. Like it wasn't, you know, it was still doing him very well. And in terms of a player that just knows where to be on the field, he was one of the, but his footy IQ is really up there. So he's one that, yeah, interested to see if he does go where he does end up, because I think he's every chance, and it would feel weird for him not to make it, but it should happen. Joel Frazier, I mean, I've loved watching him. I mean, that Bendigo game against Dandenong where he kicked six was just nuts, and that put him on the map, really. His running ability on the wing is fantastic. He's a great size. He's not extremely tall, but he's got a bit of height on him. He holds his width so well, and yeah, I mean, he'll keep working on his contestable, but he's just one that has to go for sure, and would love for him to end up at the Blues personally.
Yep, and then Lachie Charlson is one that I know you've absolutely loved watching. He's a goal sneak with a nose for goals, and he's creative, and he's got multiple avenues to goals. He's good over his head, he's good up ground level, and he takes his opportunities. He's I guess exactly what you want in a small forward, and he certainly showed he could do it at talent league level.
Well, he did, and he proved that against Bendigo later in the season where he kicked 8 goals, which was pretty unexpected. He just was. Everything coming inside forward 50 was his, and yeah, he does. He has that nose for goals. He knows where to find the footy. I guess it's just the point of difference for Lockie when we compare him to other small forwards. Is he going to be able to stand? Will he be ranked higher or lower? Just interesting to see. I think he's a minimum. He's a VFL player, but he's definitely done enough to attract interest at the very least and put himself in contention. And I guess a few others that we sort of touched on throughout the season. Oscar Gorth had a good back end, could go to VFL, but not too sure at this point. But we saw him in the champs. He was terrific, and he shut down Jed Walter, which was just a pretty impressive task because we know how good Jed is. And then Harry Lawson could come back as a 19-year-old next year, but VFL is also on the cards. And Alex Molan was one that had a really good start to the season. It was fantastic. Just has a, like, he knows how to win the ball, gets it forward. Mm. And just a great agile player, definitely should be presented VFL opportunities because he was one that, given some more football, could have actually been in a different discussion at this time.
And then from a bottom age perspective, probably the one who's getting a lot of talk is Sam Warlow. He's clean in the midfield, good below his knees, and understands how to work his way through a contest. But then one who probably came on, particularly as the season went on, probably grew into the season, is Jonty Fall. Is that sort of hit up? Yeah. Strong mark over his head forward?
100%. I mean, you summed it up really well with Sam Lawler. He's been one of my favourites to watch, and you really summed it up perfectly with him. He should be one of the most dominant midfielders in next year's draft crop. That's my belief. He's just so impressive to watch and just a terrific footballer in general. Jonty Fall, yeah, like you said, he's one, marks anything, especially saw that in the back end of the season. One hand, anything contested, he just knows how to get his hands on the footy and hold on to the ball. And His kicking will have to improve. That's probably just the main thing in general. He'll work on his technical side of the game, but otherwise he's got all the potential, played a really good, had some really good moments in the AFL Futures match, just was doing some smart football things, waiting out the back and not, you know, getting sucked in, and all the good forward craft things that I think will just add to his game really well.
I know when I've spoken to people at GWV, Flynn Penry's high on their list to talk about, that high on what he could produce, a key position player.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And he's one that I think he'll keep his body right as that tall ruck that will move around the ground a lot. And it's providing that aerial presence, which I think we've sort of seen with players like Lockie Smith this year, who just can provide more than just that ruck yep. work in the middle. And that's about it. And he'll be able to build that to his game. And he was pretty good on grand final day, so showed some good glimpses and was really competitive in the ruck. So, yeah, one that will be interesting to watch his development. One, the brother of Lockie, Harry Charleston, a different player to Lockie, not really similar at all. Harry's got a bit more height on him, just got a nice kick out of the back line, but he's a great endurance runner, could be pushed into that midfield. And I think we'll see a lot of these bottom major boys pushed in at some point. Obviously this year, they're not the priority. So he'll be one that's really interesting to watch because he has had a good back end. We sort of kept notice on him. And yeah, he'll be really good to watch.
And then I know from what I've been told in that Vic Diversity versus Bashahooli game, Bashahooli Academy game, the Fawcett brothers, that's Deacon and Seth Fawcett, both played well. So it'll be interesting to see if they get a couple of games under Coach Dave Loader next year for the GWV Rebels. To round it out, do you want to maybe talk about Will Rantall, who's the brother former Collingwood versatile player Jay Rantall, who was in the system for a couple of years, and then also Ollie Hannaford.
I love to sneak that in there, Jonty. That was a good one there. Just snuck that in, that Collingwood link there. Yeah, Will is a great, he's 196, very tall defender, great leg speed, and his one-on-one defensive capability is really good, just has the ability to run players down, and that's for such a tall player, very impressive. And then Ollie Hannaford, yeah, he's one that burst onto the scene pretty early, actually. The start of the year, he was there and he just kept building on his game, probably quieted down a little bit towards the end of the season, just explosive. He got the job on Harley Reid in their last matchup against Bendigo and played really well on him. And, you know, Harley's always going to play well, but Ollie did really well in that. Just loves a challenge. He'll play more midfield time and he's a terrific player to watch. And then just four players I want to name who we're just going to keep our tabs on: Sam McDonald, Connor Wiedemann, Hugh Toner, Amon Radley, just to round out that bottom age group there. But we'll move to Gippy, who, Jonty, you spend a lot of time watching Gippy, and they've had a pretty mixed season, but there's a lot to like with them. And we'll start from the top. Zane Dersma, he's got to be the top under Jed Walter. He's just that forward craft is ridiculous. And we saw it in that Country Metro game. He just went nuts. And that's what we know he can produce.
Yeah, kicked three or four in a really short space of time, didn't he? And he's one who, his marking's really good, and they were big on developing his defensive side of his game last year, and that's something that he then went into the midfield and that helped develop it. Yeah, I think he's a really well-made product overall. He's one who will certainly start at AFL level as a forward, and has shown that he'll probably be advanced on some others when he does start in senior footy, probably at VFL level next year, but he will eventually work his way into the midfield, and he has got that power and that burst, that explosiveness to really match it with the best once he does have a couple of seasons in the system.
And then Archer Reid, sort of touch on his season. Did it go right? Did it go well enough for him?
Yeah, well, he'll still get taken, I think, is the view. He's obviously, you know, you don't have 200-centimetre key forwards come about every day. And one thing that he did that was really positive throughout the season is he went into the ruck. They wanted to do that just to showcase his versatility. And he did that really well, was all the feedback. So that's something that's really good. He was able to match it from a physical point of view and understood and learnt the craft really well. So that showed his coachability. But there was just a little bit of a lack of continuity in the first sort of eight or so games with his footy. So he's talked about as a top 15 prospect, and then he's playing for the Academy and then Vic Country and Gippsland and Inverloch Conwack in between all of that. So probably didn't quite find continuity until halfway through the season. We saw in one of those Vic Country games, he finally did start to get it right and show how potent he can be as that forward marking inside 50.
Well, a player that, I mean, his rise over the towards pretty much the last month of football, he's come out of nowhere now, and Chu Giath, I mean, he's in contention really for that like sort of early second round pick. And tell me about that rise. Where did it come from, and why is he going to go as high as what it has been projected so far?
Yeah, Tao Jath is one whose game against Dandenong really capped off what was a strong last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. He just did it all against Dandenong. His ability to read the ball coming in and then take it on as a rebounding defender trying to set the game up and get some counter-attacking chain ball movement going off the half-back line was just really impressive. So his understanding of the game and that sort of athleticism and speed that he possesses and knowledge of when to use it is something that he played with all season. And I thought he was one that once he did get a couple of strong games behind him, he's a real momentum player. And that's just comes from the type of player he is. He's the sort of player who thrives when he's got confidence, because he backs himself to take those risks from an offensive standpoint. And that's when he's playing his best footy. So yeah, he's one who was really impressive for them. And then you've obviously got Will Dawson and Lockie Smith, the two key position players as well. So Lockie Smith, 7 years across a 7 year period, he played just 3 games of footy at a local level. So it's a ridiculous stat, but you see that basketball background come out in the way he plays, his ability at ground level to remain involved and his cleanliness. And, you know, he's been a 200 centimeter sort of brute of a person since he was about 12, 13 years of age, yet he remains involved so well at ground level. So, and he's also very good overhead. He's able to stand his own and take a big contested mark. And then Will Dawson played his best footy and says he's most comfortable playing as that defender now. So he's taking some intercept marks, and he's also shown he can play in that forward and ruck. So a versatile key position prospect. Clubs will be licking their lips about him. I think he's one that's actually fallen under the radar a little bit from Gippsland. I think he's one who will go quite high, and the club that snaffles him up will get themselves a real good deal.
Well, I guess who's the tier under that before you move into the bottom ages that probably will have VFL opportunities that present down the line?
Yeah, so one that you've liked watching throughout the season as a half forward who plays his role well, works hard, is Seb Amoroso, the Gippsland skipper. So he'll get the opportunity to play VFL if he wants it. Jai Esler is a youngster that's still developing, so he's a key defender who played really well, particularly in that last game of the season, got some really good matchups and matched it really well. And then Lane Ward, Lamp Sarong and Harry Scott, who's hardworking, are also in that mold. They haven't put the Gippsland haven't completely ruled out Tom Hanley getting drafted. He probably doesn't, just because he didn't get much continuity with his footy. He just got injured and injured and injured continually at the wrong time and only barely played 2 games in a row at all. But when he did play Talent League, he was getting 25 to 35 touches every time. And he played a little bit of strong school footy across the last couple of years as well. He's one that might invite back as a 19-year-old. Given that limited opportunity.
Yeah. We'll hope he gets his opportunity down the line and just gets his football together. And then we look at next year, and one that I won't stop talking about because I just love watching him, Ricky Mentha Jr. He was just an electric forward that just, you know, knows how to score goals. Like, it's just natural. And then they've got some pretty good depth. I'm interested. Yeah, go through. Yeah, where is their depth? Because they might be one of the teams to sort of watch out for next year.
Yeah, their depth is reasonable next year because, yeah, you talk about Ricky Mentha Jr. Their top bottom major is probably Xavier Lindsay, who we've talked about. He plays an inside and outside midfielder, uses it really well, covers the ground well. And then they've got Jasper Allgaier, who's a school player, so that means he's limited in how much he'll play. He plays for Caulfield. So he'll only play the first month of the season, the last month or so of the season. But he's one who's got really good attributes and was well-regarded, particularly last year playing in the 16s champs. And Max Donoghue is one who got opportunities in the midfield at times this year. So that predominantly makes up where their 2006-born talent comes from. And then they've also got a couple of really well-regarded players in their 16s crop this year who got some exposure. So Willem Dersma, we know that bloodline, obviously Yasmin, Xavier, Zane this year, and Willem's the last one to come through. He's a 2025 prospect. He played as a fearless halfback and rebounded it really well, reads the game nicely. And Job Scapen is another one who's really highly regarded both on and off the field for the skill set and character that he offers.
Well, I'm pretty sure you told me Willem played most of his junior up forward, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, so, Yeah, and he's now showing what he's able to do as a defender, both at 16s level in the champs, and then now translating that to Gippy.
Impressive. He'll be a jet come the next couple of years. Move now to Geelong, who made it to the prelims and did pretty well in the end, given they had a kind of poor end to the regular season, and then translated, got into good form in the finals. And I'll start with one that I've kept a good eye on throughout the full year, Tom Anastasopoulos, who had his moments. Be interested to see where he does land. I think he's got the attributes. It's whether he's just probably, has he really got the X factor to get himself on an AFL? This is probably the question mark, but we saw he had his moments in terms of that speed, his that athletics background. He's just like pressure on the opposition and runs rins and does all the things. We saw he's either very hot or very cold in that Sandy game. That first quarter was really good, but then he just sort of went out of it.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about the X factor and put a question mark over that. For me, he showed that he had the X factor, and that wasn't a question mark from what I'd seen and heard. It was probably just more the consistency that he did it for the first month of the season, then we probably didn't see his best after that. So if his productivity remained at that same level for the whole season with what he was able to do, I think that would have placed him a little bit better, but he did still show a little bit nonetheless. The other big prospect out of Geelong and probably their main player that is the most likely to go highest is Angus Hastie, a rebounding defender who takes the game on, can take marks. He's got a good athletic profile, but he's one who is a complete halfback, and they had a lot of strong running halfbacks in Vic Country. He was arguably the best of them.
Well, if you want to put his game in one clip, it would be that goal against Sandy in that prelim where he ran it all the way out from about 20 metres from Sandy's goal, took it all the way up to pretty much 50, and then created the goal assist. One and nearly the goal of the year, if there was one. It was insane. But, yeah, it's just his endurance. That rebound he provides, he's just so smart to open the ground up. His vision, it was just consistent. He's a reliable figure in the back line that you know will be able to transition you well. And in terms of tactically, he's one you definitely want on your list. So 100% I have to agree. He hasn't really put a foot wrong at all, I don't think.
Yeah, absolutely. Toby Murray's another one. He's one that I've really enjoyed watching. I think his work rate is something that does fly under the radar, but he works to get every possession, and he does the positive things off the ball as well, which you want from your winger, and helps them shape up the way that they want to shape the ball, the Falcons, and he's good one-on-one. Tom Burke, one that you've liked watching?
Yeah, 100%. He's just one. He's got a big engine. He was vital to Geelong's system just out of the centre stoppages, able to get the ball out, provide some pace out of the centre square. And he's that metres game player. I don't think he'll find himself on an AFL list, but I think VFL 100%. He's just a nice utility player to use. In terms of two players that I think are in talks, and one more I think is going very under the radar, sort of, in my opinion, at the very least, is Michael Rudd, who he's not one of the top key position forwards, but he did some very good things to get himself noticed, especially in that champs. He was probably the most productive for Vic Country, had sort of patches, but I thought in that back end of the year for Geelong, he was able to push up the ground and provide a real good aerial presence that probably wasn't there in his game at the start of the year. And I feel like he'll be one that would be stiff not to go. I think he has all the attributes. I think he's just been sort of put under the radar because you've got your Dersmers, Walters, Caddies, all Morris. There. That
yeah,
Morris, like those players that are probably just above him. But I don't think he's very. I don't think he's much below them, in my opinion. So I'm interested.
I guess from my perspective, the question is, he's got it at this level. How does that translate to senior footy at AFL level? He doesn't quite have the height. He's not like a 195-plus key forward. So that means you have to have a very certain type of skill set if you're going to play that, as they always compare him to Jack Gunston type role, where you're hitting up the ground. So his ability to do that and improve as the season went on is something that's really positive. Pat Hughes is one who won the Morrish medal along with Colby McKercher this year. So he's a strong in and under midfielder trial for Vic Country just missed out. Probably whether he's got enough outside attributes has been the question mark that's been thrown up. Whether he's just an inside player. Obviously, if you're just an inside player, you're probably not getting taken the way the game's going these days. But he did go inside 50 and show that he can take a mark and kick a goal. So that was really positive for his season. But he is probably still on the precipice and one that might have to work his way and prove he has got that versatility through VFL level.
And the last one I just want to touch on before the bottom ages is Joe Pike, who had a pretty poor championships, and that was the reality. Just wasn't strong enough, didn't really get to show his attributes. His aggressiveness wasn't there, but that is something that improved, and we saw that in the back end of the year. He was winning his ruck contest and making an impact at ground level as well, which is just was that extra element I think he needed. Whether the sort of the poorer champs limits how he'll go, wait and see, but he did show he has the attributes and the traits. It's just whether he did enough.
A couple of overage defenders who could go to VFL level as well, Hamish Pearson and Tom Pearce. So there are a couple more names to keep an eye out for alongside Ethan Boris, who I thought was really good as well as a good one-on-one player and did show a little bit this season. He impressed me. But from a bottom age perspective, I think the clear standout is Xavier Ivicic. So he's one who, at the first month of this season, I thought he was as impressive as any bottom ager. I thought I really liked what I saw from him. Yeah, his numbers might not read as impressively as some others, but the glimpses that he did show showed that he has got the capability to go top end if that trajectory does continue for him.
Oh, 100%, and he's got that capability to have that mid-forward rotation. He's just developing his outside work that will continue to build on the off-season. He's just, his running capacity is fantastic. He's a really nice kick and great composure, just sort of doesn't worry, and he's just doesn't panic really. So he's one that we've loved watching, and he's had some very good moments this year, and excited to see what he brings. Zach McGuinness is one that I saw in the first game of the season. It's one of the first games I watched not knowing too much about the Falcons yet, and I genuinely thought he was a top ager the way he was playing, and he's one that he'll be a top forward next year. He's just really attacks the football well, and he takes pressure off the other key forwards, and that was something I noticed straight away. Just provides a really good contested capability aerially as well, and he's just one that I think keep a good eye on. And River Stevens, father son, he's one that definitely should be on the watch. He had some good moments at the end of the season, kicked 3 goals against Bendigo at Mars Stadium, I think the week before Wildcard. They played each other 2 weeks in a row. Just protects the space really well. Good pace, very clean ball user. And then Lockie Jarks is one that just keep an eye on. We've seen he played a pretty good under-16 season last year in the Vic, in the National Champs, and got some games at the end of this season. So, yeah, that's the Falcons pretty much. And then Murray.
Yeah, we'll segue into Murray, and their top player was Connor O'Sullivan, and he's a player that can play at either end of the ground, and he's going to go right at the pointy end of the draft, as is Darcy Wilson, who's been one of your favourites to watch. He's a really complete player who is someone who I think could translate to the next level quite quickly. But we'll, in the theme of the podcast, we'll stick to the players that are under the radar a little bit. Those two have obviously received extensive headlines for what they're capable of. Phoenix Gothard is one who probably fatigued as the season went on, which is understandable. He played so much footy this year and played for a few different teams. But yeah, what he showed after being talked about as one who could grow throughout the season, a little bit like Billy Wilson. They sort of put him on the map early, and then he, I guess, showed and justified why there was that hype and hope around him. His ability as a small forward, you talk about Lockie Charlson, the thing that someone like a Fanny Scothard probably has on Lockie Charlson is he's got that speed and that fleet of foot, which is really impressive, and that real agility, the ability to break through tackles. I thought his strength as a small player really stood out and did everything he could as a Allies representative, as a Murray representative, was one of my favourites to watch at his best, and he peaked at the right time in the middle of the season.
And then under that, I guess, two other boys that featured in the national championships for Vic Country level, Oscar Ryan, Kobe James. Kobe James, we know how reliable he was just as the season went on, was always that real transitional player through the corridor that would love to just get it and run with it. And yeah, you put it powerful and bold, and I think that sums up his game really well. And then Oscar Ryan, we saw his ability on the half back line. I guess what's next for those two? Is there any interest in going forward?
Yeah, both of them have good speed, I think. And I think Oscar Ryan obviously got that national combine invite, which indicates the interest that exists in him. He's still right on the edge, and I think there's every chance he doesn't get picked up. But he's really composed under pressure, and he's a good mover. Off halfback, got the opportunity to play in the midfield as well, as did Kobe James a little bit. So I'll be interested to see both of those. I do think both of those will have to take the long route, whether that be get an SSP selection, go mid-season next year, or a little bit later down the track. But there's a chance that Oscar Ryan goes. So keep an eye on that, because Oscar Ryan's one that's right on the edge. And then I guess below that, you've got a couple of overagers in Jed Longmire and Nick Newton, whose productivity when they played for the Bushrangers is really strong. But Jed Longmire played a lot of footy as well at VFL level, so only played a couple of games for Murray. And then we move on to the bottom ages. So I guess if we start with Ollie Warburton, who got plenty of exposure in that Murray midfield in between playing for Caulfield Grammar, who he played really good footy for when he was given a go at that level. But at Murray level, he wasn't one that necessarily accumulated the really impressive numbers when he went into the midfield in the last three or four games of the season, but he did show quite a bit at contests, his ability to weave his way through stoppages, win clearances, and then use it well.
Yeah, 100%. He's one that just had a good back end as well, and very excited to see how he performs. I think he's just a great addition to that Murray team. And one that you've also loved watching, and you put a tab on him very early this year, was Darby Wilson, which was very confusing with a Darcy Wilson, I must add. And I thought you were just mixing the names up, but it actually is two separate players. And I'm glad they're not playing on the same team next year. But Darby Wilson, tell me a bit more about him, because I think there is a bit to be excited about with him.
Yeah, he's one who's just a defensive player who's got a little bit of speed and a little bit of flair, which he uses to sort of shut down defenders, shut down forwards, doesn't let them get off the hook. And he's got a real defence-first, team-first mindset, which is really positive in the back line. So I expect he'll get the opportunity in back line. The next step for him is to add an offensive element to his game and not just shut down players, which is shown, I think, that he can do this year. Shut down Tom Anastasopoulos, which was the game that put him on the map, but actually use it really well and take on the game coming out of the back half. So get that balance into his game. Usually you're talking with talent league players about them having to add a defensive component to his game. The fact that it already exists and the fact you're asking a player to add an offensive component, I think, is really positive. And he's played locally as a forward a little bit as well. He plays locally for Euroa with Cohen Paul, who's a well-built smart forward that was spoken a little bit about by Murray and has got a little bit to be excited about, take some good grabs.
And I guess a few others, Josh Murphy, but then we got the two Whitlock, the twins who up either end, and we saw... Was it Jack? Jack kicked the winning goal. I'm pretty sure it was Jack. He kicked the winning goal in the under-17s when they played Queensland. Yeah. Go to our socials if you want to see it, because it's quite spectacular, that just on the siren. And great set shot. But, yeah, tell me about those two boys and, you know, where are they playing? What's their potential?
Yeah, well, considering we don't even know which is which, it's not a great start. But no, they're both very similar players. They're both very strong in terms of their IQ and their ability to I guess read the ball in flight. For both of them is really strong. One's a barometer inside 50. I have completely confused myself about which is which, but I do believe Jack is a forward. Jack can be a real barometer inside 50 and really assert himself, take contested marks. And then Matt is one who can really shut down and is probably going to be their go-to defender. He's going to get a lot of jobs on some big opposition key forwards. And when you're doing that, that gives you the opportunity to get drawn to the ball a little bit, which is positive because it gives you the opportunity to get involved in the play. And if you're able to shut down defenders, then are you able to shut down forwards and spearheads, then that certainly puts you on the map. So a couple to keep tabs on. But yes, apologies if we have got the twins around the wrong way. And I know it's something that the Murray coaches do as well, because they're identical and they'll cause some headaches for recruiters if Coach Mark Brown ever chooses to switch them for a quarter next year, just to see what they're capable of at the other end of the ground. Wouldn't want to say that. But just one more to touch on, Alex Swinnerton, who's quite clean, but he's very small. So he did get that under-17s trial game. So have to be absolutely elite given his size, but he does have a little bit of presence about him inside 50.
Yeah, well, I'm interested to see if we can recognise the twins. I don't actually remember. I don't know if you can remember like a pair of identical twins in the talent league. Like it's pretty rare.
No.
Yeah, unusual. So go search them up on Google if you're interested, because they literally are identical. Like, it's very hard to tell. Hopefully one of them has a different haircut come next year. But let's move to our last team, who we've got boys and girls for, because we weren't able to cover the girls last week. So we'll include them in this one. But we'll start with the boys for Tassie. Look, they just, all their players boosted off a great national champs in that Allies comp. You start at the top with Colby McKercher, who we know how fantastic he is. He should be in the top five. But I guess that step under is where they really had sort of what we embodied, the under the radar type. I mean, go through a few. We'll start with James Leake. Just had very good ends and built their seasons really well.
I think James Leake played well wherever he played this season. So whether he's playing for the Allies, whether he's playing, he got a little bit of midfield time and looked really good there. I think made a name for himself as that player who could defend really well and was very good overhead, and then was able to, I think back to that Dandenong game, Trevor Barker Oval, where I think it was him and Heath Ollington that was just single-handedly keeping Tasmania unit just by winning one-on-ones and kicking goals with the few opportunities that were coming up inside 50 for the Devils. So he's a real athlete, and I think that's what separates him. And you know, teams want to draft athletes now, because you can't really develop athleticism if they don't have that sort of body type, but you can develop the skills, and he's already quite advanced with where the skills are as well. So he's one that has risen and risen as the years gone. Jack Callanan is one that probably doesn't quite fit the mold. The others that we're about to talk about probably do, but Jack Callanan started the season really high, then probably perhaps plateaued a little bit, was an AFL Academy member, and then the last three or four games of his season is a powerful, medium-sized player who was quite good overhead and able to kick a goal. And, you know, one-on-one really proved to people why he did have that hype about him coming into the season.
Well, we did see him move into the back line a little bit towards the end of the season. He was playing a bit of that half-back role, so showed a little bit of versatility later on in the season. One you've loved watching and featured on the longest kick as in the talent league, Ari Schoenmaker. Yeah, he's showed some pretty good attributes. You'd love to have him with that kick he's got on him.
Yeah, well, you'd love to have a 70-metre left-foot bomb coming out of defensive 50. And he's one who has certainly developed on and off the field as the season's gone on. And he's also able to take a good mark overhead. So I think what can be overlooked when you just sort of watch him on the field is that he's actually quite tall. He's quite an imposing figure. So he's not just a rebounding halfback. He's actually someone who can win an aerial contest. And I think that's something you'll see come into his game more and more as he does spend more time in the AFL system, because he's an imposing figure to stand next to. He's 195 centimetres plus. So, yeah, he's a real big boy. And then Heath Ollington, an overager who really seized his opportunity. And you do like these sort of stories, because often overagers given the opportunity to come back and aren't able to necessarily capitalise on that or show enough improvement to get onto an AFL list. But yeah, we talk about what he's able to. We talk about what James Leake was able to do in that game against Sandy Hill's another one. Just takes marks. He's a strong player, and he's very good one-on-one. Can be that real barometer inside 50 when they needed it, Tassie.
Well, I guess the level under that and the players who have had pretty good seasons as well, we talk like the names of Jordy Payne, who I know you've been pretty big on, that had a really good back end to the season. And I think he polled pretty well in Tassie's Best and Fairest, actually. That was just recently the other day. So he's on a terrific season. Bo Nash, Jack Dolliver, Harry Elmer, talk me through these boys that had pretty good seasons and had some nice moments just to keep themselves ticking over and get some interest.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, State League for all of them if they wanted it. All of those players that you mentioned, Jordy Payne's just a really clever rebounder and takes the game on. So that was really positive from Tassie's point of view. I think it was a key part of the way they played, gave them a little bit of pace when they may have at times lacked that. Bo Nash is a contested midfielder, gets it in and under, happy to do the dirty work and happy to lay some tackles as well. So Colby McKercher is one who, you know, probably was a beneficiary of that. We talk about Cooper Lord a lot in the Sandy midfield. Bo Nash is probably to Tassie what Cooper Lord is to Sandy. Jack Dolliver, another overager who, particularly through the middle of the season, really stood up, was consistent all throughout, even when players were missing for Allies duty. So that was really important for the Apple Isle. And then Tom Beaumont as skipper was a big body in the midfield, showed he could play forward as well. And then Harry Elmer, hardworking, fearless sort of defender whose ability in defensive 50 was really key to the way Tassie played.
For sure. And then looking ahead next year, what have we got with Tassie? Because we didn't get to see a lot of bottom age Tassie boys this year, but we saw a couple and some had their moments. And Ollie DePauli Kubank was probably the one we saw at the end that had a really good back end, and you saw in the final against Gippy where he had a pretty good show. So what to expect from Tassie's bottom majors?
Yeah, he played two good finals. I'm trying to think of which final was the better one now. It was the one against Gippy, wasn't it, that was really positive, and then he somewhat backed it up the next week. Yeah, he 30 disposals or thereabouts against Gippy. Yeah, his speed and his smarts and his confidence to take it on. He's still slightly built, so he looked to put on a bit of size in pre-season. But, yeah, he's one who hopefully will get some midfield minutes next year. So I really enjoyed watching him, and I think he's got all the core attributes to certainly contend at the AFL draft next year. And I actually think he's their best prospect. Now, Ollie Dean was the player who got the opportunity on grand final day. He's still raw, and obviously we know that it can take, and they develop a little bit later, the key position players. But he probably didn't have the AFL grand final day that under-17s futures games he would like, but he's still shown a little bit, and he's one who will get plenty of opportunity next year to show what he's capable of and will look to continue to develop. So both of them are probably the top two. Below them, Lenny Douglas is one who's been in their system for a couple of years now, the 16s obviously last year as well. He's composed, agile in traffic and quite crafty. They're pretty happy with what he's produced to kick the winning goal in that game against Gippsland. And then Connor Ling is one who got some opportunity through the midfield as well. So, yeah, he's another one to keep an eye on.
Moving finally now to Tassie's girls, who we're going to start away all the way from the start, where Jodie, their coach, she backed them to make finals right before the season even started, and they did. And they built a pretty impressive resume, most of their girls throughout the season. So run me through a few of their top ages that we should just keep a watch on. And I mean, probably the best one to start with, Georgia Clark, who's had quite a lot of interest throughout the season and should go come December.
Yeah, I mean, when the ball comes inside 50, she's always thereabouts, and it always looks dangerous when she's about the footy. Her running patterns as well are really exceptional, and that's why she's so highly rated. It's not just her ability to take a contested mark and go back and kick a goal, but she empties out, and that bodes well for playing well one-on-one. So that was a key feature of her season. Brooke Barwick, probably one who hasn't got spoken about this season. Everyone knows that I think the expectation is that she probably goes in the top 10 just with what she's already showed. But what's really positive from their point of view is that she showed her character, because she stayed connected to the group by helping coach both the Tassie Devils and her local club, Glenorchy, this year. So that was really positive for her. She continues her recovery from an ACL injury, and we wish her all the best.
And then I guess we sort of look at the other sort of players around the mark. With Tanisha Kikowak was one that we sort of looked at earlier in the season and had some good moments as the season progressed, got a chance at VFLW level, and I guess where's her footy sitting at this point in time?
Yeah, her footy's sitting at a point where they've determined, I think, the consensus is that her best footy will be played as a ruck. So she obviously started as a defender, really good one-on-one, really strong, but just probably didn't showcase the full array of her attributes. And they didn't initially want to play her in the ruck. They weren't sure if she had the height to contend at the next level in that position. But it has become apparent that her ability to, her ruck craft and her strength in that position physically is something that's going to set her apart. So that's really positive. And the work rate also allowed her to cover the ground a lot better as the season went on. And then Mackenzie Williams, probably another one who covers the ground really well, has good speed and is reasonably polished as well. And Jasmine Thompson got the combine invite. You touched on her earlier with obviously her ability to run the 2K in quick time. And she's one who still has a little bit to learn about footy. She's reasonably new to the game, has background in a different sport, but her running capacity allowed her to get high up the ground when she was playing off half back, and then get to lots of contests when she was given the opportunity in the midfield, but was probably one who never quite settled in one position. So we didn't quite see the best of her, but the glimpses we did see at her best were positive and lots to build upon and justify the interest that she's getting.
And then two others, I guess, in that around the category, Candice Belbin, Jasmine Thompson, where is their football at the moment? And they had pretty good seasons both.
Yeah, well, Jasmine Thompson, as I touched on, yeah, she's one who never probably settled in her position. And Candice Belbin is one who, at Sample W level, that's where the future of her lies, probably. because she's going to university over there. So if she doesn't get the opportunity at AFLW level, that's where she'll go. And she definitely has the ability to go and play state league in South Australia because her understanding of stoppage is really good, and she's worked hard on her kicking and power, and both of those stood out as the season went on.
Bottom age perspective next year, what is there to look forward to with Tassie? Maddie Lamb played some good football earlier on the season. Lucy Thompson, another one. And then you've even got some O7s to talk about as well.
Yeah, both of those really, really positive throughout the season. Maddie Lamb is one who, I think she's one who will stay in Tasmania and play for them as an overager next year. And then you've also got Lucy Thompson who, yeah, was very interrupted with injuries throughout this year. She's a good mark of the footy, and probably needs to play a little bit more midfield next year, and just didn't quite get the opportunity because of those injuries this year to play her best footy this year. But when she does play consistently in the midfield, that's where she'll start to shine and start to become a real leader for them. I think she's shown that she's capable of doing that. And then Sophie Strong as well is one who's really impressed me, particularly the back end of her season, giving herself a strong launch pad for next year. She had to overcome a stress fracture in her foot early in the season. But, yeah, she was able to do that comeback. And then, yeah, her speed's really good. And she's a sort of high half forward who gets separation on her opponent and is one who's developing and developing really quickly.
Any more from Tassie?
Yeah, and then I guess, yeah, the O7s, as you touched on, Priya Bowring, Harriet Bingley, Mia Anderson and Georgia Haberley all got opportunities to play in the Tassie lineup this season. Priya Bowring is one who's got a high footy IQ. Mia Anderson's stoppage craft stands out. Georgia Haberley got some opportunities in the midfield. And then Harriet Bingley showed what she was able to do pretty consistently during her 7 or 8 games. So yeah, they're some names. And they're really confident on those 07 players, those 2007-born players, so 2025 prospects, that those three in particular, being Bowring, Bingley and Mia Anderson, are really top end.
Exciting to see what Tassie will produce, and yeah, had a very good season this year and competed so well. And that about wraps it up. So thank you as always, Jonty. Thank you for watching. Next week, same but Metro. We're going to review all the Metro, and I love to go through with Metro as there is with Country. So excited to go through that. Stay tuned for the socials. We're going to start slowly releasing our player interviews as they're edited. We're going to get them out, and we've got heaps of content banked up that we're ready to get out, and it's just waiting there. So make sure you follow us on our socials to keep up to date. And we're also doing a bit of a thing on Tuesdays. We're a bit interactive on our story. If you want to go and we put a question up, you want to respond, we try and get to as many as we can. So love the interaction with the followers. So make sure to follow for all of that. So thank you all for watching. Leave a comment for some feedback. Let us know who you were impressed with seeing this year from the Vic Country teams. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you next week.